unless it was a pub. Especially those who are resident. I will not waste any time. We have time constraints. I know that for a few weeks we've been hoping to get the minister here. So it's not my day to say anything. I'm sure you don't want to hear anything from me anyway. You listen to me all the time. So I will not waste your time. I'm going to get apologies minutes after that and over to the Minister of Energy to address the apologies.
Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, and members of the public. We only have two approaches. Honourable Tata will be leaving at 12. She's got a doctor's appointment. Honourable Dave is on sick.
And the committee says she has been off sick for some time. I'm sure you make a proposal that we get him something, sure, before we meet. I'm sure you make a proposal that we get him something before we meet. I'm saying the committee secretary has been off sick for a very long time. Mm. Honourable Minister, welcome and over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Energy, the Honourable Stigler Majola, and members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister of Energy, Ambassador, TMBC the Majora, DG, Tabanzuri, the CEOs that are present here from the staff group and the chair, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members for this opportunity to help us as the Department of Energy to come and share with the committee our key programs that the committee felt we should discuss at this meeting. As it is evident, this briefing takes place exactly 8 days before we present our inaugural budget speech to Parliament. It thus gives me great pleasure to be here as we jointly share our views and thoughts before the important day of 16 May 2018 at 1400 hours in the National Assembly. Energy is the lifeblood of any economy. And energy security is a national security. And energy insecurity is a constraint to growth and development. In addressing energy challenges, our core national interest is the provision of sufficient energy to support economic growth and social development. There is an urgent need for diversification in our energy mix in order to meet the current and future energy demands of the country. To diversify the energy mix, we need suitable, sustainable, and affordable primary energy sources, which have the further advantage of reducing our carbon footprint. Many factors pose potential threats to energy security, including scarce and depleting energy resources, geopolitical instability, inadequate energy infrastructure, and more recently, natural disasters. The petroleum landscape in Southern Africa is changing. And with the change, a number of new challenges and opportunities are emerging. The oil majors no longer find petroleum downstream as an attractive proposition. Clearly, this means that as they divest, there will be opportunities for others to enter the space. Ideally, South African businesses should then occupy that space together with our state-owned companies. In line with the National Development Plan, our government will, in the next 12 months, make definitive decisions on petroleum refining capacity in South Africa. The current imports of 20% of refined product demand may still be manageable, but importing beyond a third of our country's refined product needs threatens our energy security. This threat to energy security is exacerbated by the distance from refining centers and limited storage capacity for refined products. The Department of Energy is currently reviewing the nuclear build program to address the issues that were raised by the Western Cape High Court judgment of the 26th of April 2017. Consequently, the way forward on the nuclear build program will be determined by the updated integrated resource plan, the IRP, once it is promulgated. The development of a national integrated energy plan, the IEP, and the integrated resource plan were envisaged in the white paper on energy policy of the Republic way back in 1998 in terms of the National Energy Act. It is therefore critical that the Department of Energy finalize these key policy documents soon. The purpose of the Integrated Energy Plan is to provide a roadmap of the future energy landscape for South Africa, which guides future energy infrastructure investments and policy development. The IEP will provide an overarching planning framework for electricity, liquid fuels, and gas sector plans, such that the development of these plans are done in a coordinated and integrated manner. Following the cabinet decision of December 2017, the department is steadily working towards concluding the review of the IRP by not later than the mid-August 2018. As it is evident, the IRP is a subset of the IEP, and therefore the integrated plan can only be concluded once the IRP review process is also concluded. Consequently, I have instructed the officials in the department to proceed with this process of consultation on the technical report that has been developed during the IRP review process. This consultation will ensure that further inputs from other government departments, stakeholders such as NEDLAB, are taken into account prior to returning the IRP to Cabinet. In developing the integrated plan, an energy plan, and the associated sector plans, the IRP, the liquid fuels plan, and the gas plan, the department will achieve one important milestone, and that is to provide policy strategy that is geared towards stimulating the much-needed investment in our country. More recently, prior to his visit to the United Kingdom, His Excellency, the President of the Republic, President Ramaphosa, unveiled Team 10 Special Envoys on Investment. This team, as it is known, will spend the next few months engaging both domestic and foreign investors around economic opportunities in South Africa as we seek to rapidly grow our economy. The team will be traveling to major financial centers in Asia, Middle East, Europe, and United States to meet with potential investors. Our contribution as the Department of Energy to this initiative by the President is to ensure that there is policy certainty in energy-related investment opportunities within our country. Therefore, during my term as Minister of Energy, I intend to be decisive in key policy decisions that will stimulate our economy. There are, however, hindrances which seek to stand in the way of policy implementation. I wish to assure you, Chairperson and members, that I will do all in my power to eliminate all policy implementation obstacles from either our state-owned entities or elsewhere. During the budget board speech next week, I will deal in detail on the key measures to be taken that are aimed at eliminating obstacles to bring policy certainty and drive investment and job creation. I will also ensure that the Department of Energy and its state-owned companies are capacitated to respond to the current and emerging energy constraints and risks to energy security. To this end, I have expressed my deep concern about the state of affairs in our state-owned companies, and in particular, I'm working with the Central Energy Fund Group to ensure that governance and leadership challenges experienced in the group are addressed as speedily as possible to bring stability and to restore public confidence. Equally so, on matters of the Central Energy Fund Group, I have noted, honourable members, that the matter of the sale of strategic stock of the Republic has been on your agenda for some time now. As it is also known, the SEF Group has filed court papers seeking a declaratory order to invalidate the sale. With the indulgence of the members, I would recommend that we allow the court process to unfold as set to commence this week. However, the SEF Group leadership, which is here, accompanying me to this meeting, may at an appropriate time give details on process matters to that effect. The SEF mandate, which has a dual commercial and developmental objective, is derived from the SEF Act and a number of ministerial directives to finance and promote the acquisition, exploration, manufacture and marketing of energy with the primary purpose to contribute to the national security of energy supply, and also to provide energy resources for national energy security whilst minimizing environmental impact and in pursuit of government policy. Also want to ensure that the energy sector becomes a catalyst for economic growth and poverty alleviation while ensuring the security of energy supply and access to acceptable and, as I've said, affordable energy in our country. Honourable Chairperson and honourable members will recall that the Independent Power Producer Office, the IPP, presented to this committee on the 6th of March 2018 the status report on the procured 27 projects for bid windows 3.5 and 4. Few days later, I had announced that I would conclude the signing of these projects on the 13th of March 2018. But I had to respect the decision of the North Gauteng High Court on the night of the 12th March 2018, following the urgent application that was brought by Transform SA and NUMSA to seek the stay of the signing of the power purchase agreements for these IPPs. Following Judge Corey's decision to strike the application off the roll on the grounds that it was not urgent, I then concluded the signing of these 27 IPP projects on the 4th of April 2018. I believe this is a major milestone in our renewable programs, as this process alone has unlocked over 56 billion rand of investment into the country's economy, and as well as add over 2,300 megawatts into the national grid in the next 3 to 5 years. The IET team, which is here today, we can also give further details of these projects. But just to summarize, that these projects were procured way back in 2013-14, as we all know, and were announced in December 2014 and also in 2015. There is an opportunity, as I've said. Also, these projects are located in many rural areas of South Africa, as well as an opportunity for 58,000 jobs for South Africans, mostly the youth, in areas where these projects are located over the next 3 to 5 years. The latest date for financial close and starting construction is the 31st of July. We believe that this will play a key role in the socio-economic upliftment, as well as opportunities for many of those areas where they will be located. There is also a commitment to spend that is buying from local suppliers, which is around 22 billion rand, and that 40% will be spent from black enterprises. Black participants also on this program as a very substantial part, where they own about 64% of 58% of South African shareholders. This round has also at least two major achievements. The South Africans own majority of shares in these companies, and black ownership is very substantial. Therefore, achievements such as involvement of black participation during the construction phase, including commitments for skills transfer to black participants, which will enable their participation and transformation of the sector within the first 5 years of operation phase. Chairperson, as it is evident, more details will be highlighted in our budget vote next week. It is my pleasure to be here and to interact with you as we jointly work towards an energy. I thank you for your attention.
Thanks. This stage, so what we will do is, I think everybody has this meeting time, so we continue the meeting and we can continue the questions, but we have enough time now, so I would like to give this opportunity for members to pose questions. So, ask questions.
table open.
You could all ask questions, that, and I'm quite happy to close the meeting. Yeah. This will be very historic.
To my constituency when we close here on the 15th of June.
to say, yes, I've got it from the horse's mouth, this is the answer. I want that clarity, Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Trustee. I don't remember the so we'll take you and who's next? Honorable Mabunda, Honorable Mabunda, Honorable Estate Boxer, Honorable Mabunda, Honorable Estate, I'll take the last. I'll take you that. Just to allow you to settle down. Honorable Matara, Minister of Energy, is a Minister of Justice. Now, so when you say duty, I think it causes a major problems for him. So I hope you didn't mean to physically. Now we can take the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Minister. I just want to register my concern, Minister, that this is your first meeting with the portfolio, and I thought perhaps you spend more time with us and answer questions that the department cannot answer, because I think most of those questions are more political in nature. And perhaps, Chairperson, you need to guide me personally whether I should ask questions and assume that the presentation has been done, or I can just ask questions based on the presentation, brief presentation by the Minister. Because the questions that I've prepared is the questions from the presentation that is in front of us. So I'm not sure whether I should just assume that the presentation has been done and therefore I can ask the Minister
questions. I wanted you to ask questions based on what the Minister said, and to ask all the questions regarding what the Minister said, or any other thing you want to ask the Minister. So, given the limited time, in previous meetings, members of the city, Minister is not here, no. So I wanted to give you this opportunity to ask everything, whether it is in the presentation or not. So I want to use this time so that you can hear it and get the questions directly from the Minister. So ask anything.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the guidance. I'll start with the new nuclear probes build program. And I want to state very clear that the DA reasons against the nuclear minister. It says that South Africa's nuclear capacity has been eroded over time, and we believe that there's no capacity, the regulation structure, and the necessary nuclear related skills to run a successful nuclear build program. Staff and managers were fired, Minister, from Quebec, reducing the nuclear employee stock, while the National Nuclear Regulator, that is NNR, is understaffed for a project of this magnitude. And as reported in the strategic plan for 2017-2021, the question to you, Minister, is, has the nuclear been taken off the table completely? If not, why not? If nuclear is still on the table,
What is the timetable for a new nuclear plant to be built? What is the estimated cost of this plant? What is the current levelized cost of nuclear energy relative to CFP, solar PV and wind? What is the amount of megawatt promulgated for nuclear in the latest IRP? Has the minister met with any Russian ministers or diplomats regarding the nuclear? And then in terms of the IPPs and PPAs, the outstanding 27 renewable IPP projects were finalized and signed on the 4th of April 2018, bringing on board a further 58 billion in investment and 2,300 megawatts in power. Today, ministers, 6,376 megawatts have been procured and 4,001 megawatts have been signed. The renewable energy program has attracted about 194 billion in the new investment, of which 27.5 represents the foreign direct investment share, with the balance secured from South African financial institutions. On the move of the IPP office to the SEF, I honestly cannot understand the logic behind, to be honest, Minister. SEF has provided terrible oversight and guidance to PetroSA, which has cost this country billions of pounds. IPP office has run effectively and efficiently without the need for an extra board oversight. And my question is, why are you fixing something that is going smoothly? What are the reasons and intentions for this move on the IPP office to the SEF, given that it has operated at such successful and efficient level on its own? And then in terms of integrated resource plan, Minister, Chair, you said I can ask anything. So this is an opportunity, given the fact that the minister is only here for a few hours. So I think I can protest. Yes. When will the latest IRP be finalized and approved by the cabinet? Has nuclear been fought or hand-wired into the IRP? Is the IRP following the CSIR and ESCOM's least cost optimal approach? And if not, why not? Will the minister be entertaining further engagement from the public and parliament regarding this final IRP? Has the IRP included independent studies? If not, why not? Was the IRP approved by the cabinet minister in December? I think those are my questions so far. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I have all the questions?
Thanks, Chair. And thanks, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister. Mine relates to solar water in the program, which keeps on getting budget from the department. The last time I asked this question, I think I can't remember the response, but I only remember that if ever there was a response, I was not satisfied about this response. Maybe today I might get clarity, to say the department funds this program and there is that understanding that says for the implementation or installation of the solar water heater program, there is a need for an agreement between the department and municipalities. Now, when you check whether the municipalities have got the capacity to install this solar water heater program, it looks like there is no capacity with municipalities. Now, my question is, when, at what point will the department say whether it will be a termination of the program or not? Because, Minister, you will agree with me that we may have a good progress, but if you can't implement it, it is equal as you do not have it. Now, it was basically put in the ESCOM programs to say ESCOM will facilitate it in some time span. But it went back to the department. There was a little bit of a progress, but the progress is not yielding the desired results just because of the capacity by local municipalities. So, now the department has taken a decision to hand this program over to SEM. I don't know whether this taking this program from this department to another entity and so on and so on will really get off ground to say now we have got a program that is that has people to account, because we can't spend a lot of time listening, passing maybe responsibilities from one place to another, and in the end it gets lost. So my worry is that why should we keep on funding a program that does not actually yield the desired results? Thanks, Chair.
My other two questions have been asked. I've got only one question to the Minister. The Minister, how do you respond to the challenges by MEM and NUSA that 25,000 jobs will be lost by the signing of this IPP? What do you say to that?
Now, what is it then?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Honorable Deputy Minister. Minister, the public sector, the public sector business has lost complete trust in Eskom in the management, the ability to provide affordable electricity for this country. And you can't really blame the minister. Now, your job is as dangerous as the right choice in this country. But really, what we have in this country, policy certainty is absolutely crucial for driving industrialization and investment in this country. And we haven't got it. We haven't got it. I can name a thing now, because before your time, I just mentioned the tragic fuel stock with 10 million barrels of coal for the most crucial time when crude was at lowest for $10 a barrel. We're carrying a 38 days for $10 a barrel. That's one example. We're now sitting with Cassini and Madupi, and we're going to then spend another 52.2 billion rand. That's 52,000 million rand on Cassini. They are long, long overdue. Long, they should have been finished. And it's absolutely incompetent. Incompetent from the management, the board, and of Eskom. And even the interlink between the ministerial side and the board. And I know there's some discrepancies about Eskom reported to two different sectors in the department. Minister, I don't know how we can really justify all the billions that have been spent. Eskom, the high-tech industry, it's just a subsidiary company of Eskom. But they have spent 936.1% over spent. Now, how do we justify? How can you explain this to the public, to the taxpayers? No, government doesn't make money. Government just governs or give a safe environment for the public sector to operate. So this is their money we're spending. It's their money we're wasting. I know the Deputy Minister will make a statement now, and I always mention Grant Ingra. Grant Ingra, we like years ago, 150 million rand we gave them, and not one shot was turned. They haven't put a foreshore into the shovel into the ground yet, and it's collapsing completely. This is the decision that the board of Eskom made. And it is only the taxpayers that pay for this. And then it's unfortunately it's you now that have to give answers to the public, the taxpayers, and all the people of South Africa.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks very much for the questions. We have another last round. Over to you, Minister.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Chairperson, and the five honorable members who have made comments and also asked questions. The first one, the colleague who was nearly beaten up in the pub. Your question is, when is Eskom coming back to the Department of Energy? Let me give you a background, as I understand it, that the reason why Eskom is in the Department of Public Enterprises during the apartheid era, or rather during the dying days of apartheid, then President de Klerk created a department called Public Enterprises. But in effect, that was a department, it was actually an office of privatization. I'm sure your chairman of the portfolio committee, as the leader of COSAT, had many marches and privatization march against that move by the apartheid regime. So I'm just giving this background to highlight that ESCOM, like Transnet, Denel, Safcor, AlexCor, were hived off from line function departments to create this office of the public enterprises. So that's the background. The executive authority vests in the president as the head of the national executive. So he's the one who assigns responsibilities to ministers. So he's the one who appoints ministers to particular portfolios. So that's the answer to your question. But having said so, I'm aware that there is an interministerial committee that deals with state-owned enterprises, even their end state. So I'm sure as this process unfolds, we will know what is the fate of ESCOM and any other state enterprises. I'm sure you've seen from time to time that there have been many changes in terms of reassignment of responsibility by the president. For example, the South African Airways recently used to report to the Department of Public Enterprises, but now it reports to National Treasury. So that highlights my point that the assignment of responsibility is the priority of the president. On the second question about this issue of nuclear, I've indicated in my remarks, maybe the honourable member was not there when I made my opening remarks, that there was a decision of the Western High Court in April of 2017 that dealt with many issues that are pertinent to the issue of the nuclear program, which set aside terms of those agreements of Russia, in South Korea, United States, and also declared unconstitutional determinations, those two determinations by the Minister of Energy. So, going forward, we're in the process now of finalizing an integrated resource plan, which when promulgated will indicate the role of nuclear in that. So, we cannot preempt that determination in terms of this IRP. How soon will that be done? Will there be consultation? The answer is yes. There will be consultation in government, stakeholders, including NEDVAC, yourselves as the committee, and the public at large. What are the timeframes? Timeframes, I intend that by mid-August of 2018 to be presenting to cabinet and IRP together with the integrated energy plan. The issue of cost, I think those will be determined at the time when a decision is taken, whether or not to proceed or not. The IPP moved to SEF. I have no intention of moving the IPP office to Central Energy Fund. In fact, I think their role should be enhanced in line with the previous moves of having a thing called ISMO. So I have no intention of doing this. I think, as it is evident, the IPP office in South Africa, as I understand it, is one of the best in the world. So we can't think of such an entity that is producing the results that we all want, to ensure that we introduce competition generation funds energy benefit at all, be low cost.
Solar, water, heaters. Evidently there is a challenge there, but I bet consultations with the officials and also intend discussing as well with the Central Energy Fund in order to ensure that we accelerate this program, because I think our people need this program. The issue of capacity of municipalities, I think that is an issue that is evident to everyone, but with this program I think we can be able to assist municipalities, but in particular our own people who have to benefit out of this. So I do hope that your pessimism will fade shortly as we intervene to ensure that we drive this program to its fullest extent. 10,000 jobs lost because of the IPP renewables, and a perception is actually wrong. The IPP have nothing to do with job losses in the coal sector, and they were not established as a competition to coal. The reason for that is that it is the right thing to do to introduce renewables in South Africa. We also have international obligations in terms of the Paris Accord to ensure that we reduce carbon emissions. So the move towards renewables is the right thing to do. The real reason why is job losses in the coal sector. It is because some of those mines have reached their end of life. So that is the risk as I understand. The issue of Eskom, I've already answered it. My direct answer to the honourable member has been asking about that. I think more details must be asked from Eskom itself, because they do not report to the Department of Energy. They report to the Department of Public Enterprises. And as I responded to the first question of Justin Ebra, of how it came about and how the process going forward can be. But the fact of the matter is that the Department of Energy plays a very key role on the issues of Eskom. So I do not understand why the Portfolio Committee on Energy cannot be able to ask Eskom to present itself there, because we have the power in terms of the Constitution. So I want anyone, including Eskom, to provide information that you seek from them directly.
Dead or dying in natural deaths.
There's a setback on Grand Inga after the World Bank decided not to disinvest them in terms of their agreement on 73.1 US dollars, millions of US dollars, because there was a disagreement on the strategic direction that they might take. Do you have plans to resuscitate that project? Because it is a project that contributes about 40,000 megawatts of electricity. And I remember when we had a visit some time ago as a portfolio by the ambassador in DRC. Many things were raised by the members of the portfolio, including the issue of political stability in the Democratic Republic of Congo. How are you going to manage that if we are to resuscitate a Grand Inga, because Grand Inga is very important for us as a country?
Thank you. Minister, I respect you mentioned the nuclear hero and I could thank you for signing the federal bill and the government and frequently passes the new energy program as a bomb for the relationship. We got $200 billion in foreign investment programs. But then we went and changed fiscal, the price protecting their monopoly. We shunned. We still haven't got any room on the grid for renewable energy. Eskom has said now, we produce 5.5 terawatt electricity from our ICPP program since I think 2011. And nothing was put on the grid. There was nothing any even plans made for the ICT program for renewable energy to be put on the grid. There's no room on the grid. Then also, Minister, I want to hear, in Mpumalanga, so we hear now that all the power stations are running out of coal. 11 of them. So only two. You can correct me. I think 13 power stations in Pumalama. 11 are running out of coal. We're already paying in this country far more than any place anywhere else in the world. Even the coal that we export that gets used overseas with the export cost and all the duties being paid on it. We pay, our coal mines pay, our power facilities in this country pay more for coal than anywhere else in the world. What is the coal going to cost now? So we have to for 11 power stations, do we have to transport and truck or whatever the way the coal? And now, Minister, Eskom holds the biggest deficit or the biggest guarantee in this country. You know, Minister, really, it's possible that the Eskom, the World Bank actually at one stage wanted to call it Eskom's loan, but it will cripple, completely cripple the whole collapse of Africa's finance if that happened, because of the incompetence of the Eskom management and board, and everyone on there. We've already, you know, now they want to force NERSA in further price increases. Now that with every 10% or with every 5%, I'm taking a figure out of my head now, that Eskom increases the price of power, they will lose 10%. They will lose more even of 10% of demand. So even government institutions and businesses and the private sector, everyone is looking to use less electricity from Eskom. But because the taxpayers cannot afford it anymore. And we now, NERSA is trying to implement now. NERSA has given reasons not their massive increase. But really, NERSA is going to give Eskom 19% or whatever it's going to be. And at the end of the day, the local government is going to need that 19% is going to be 25%. But that's actually what we're going to fight. And we just cannot afford it anymore. Thank you.
Yes, I thought I was the only one. It's called
for yourself, when as the minister would like to see the whole matter being finalized. And then with regard to Petro SA, we read quite a lot of news with regard to Petro SA, and perhaps if you can update us on what is the latest now regarding Petro SA, and whether, what are your plans to turn around the status of making laws at Petro SA, and whether the minister will restructure the board of Petro SA and that of SEF, whether you have the intention of doing that. And the last question, Minister, is will the minister be going ahead with charges and prosecution for executives involved in the inquisitive Thank you.
So my question is not so much what will be the whether it's 9.6 or 4.5 gigawatts or as part of the mix. And when we asked what's happened on the current programs, we need the quotas. When this question arose, and that reason, we have some resident members of the public. When this question arose, the issue was, what's the government's position on nuclear? Is it, are we going ahead or are we not? And look at it this way. Court can pronounce on the matter. So government takes actions to remedy what the court said it must attend to. But it still has intentions of going ahead. Or it might decide, we no longer have intentions of going ahead. So that's really the question. So are we, it's not so much how much of the means is there intention of going ahead? So when this question arose, I said, no, wait for the Minister of Energy and the new government's position on the matter. Because this is how it was posed in this text. The President in Darfur said, we have no money for this thing. So it's not going to happen. So the chief asked him, is that the position of government? So I said to them, but you can't ask these officials, so let's wait for the Minister to clarify what the position of government in that regard is. And it's not so much what would be the figure in the revised IRP. So that's the one. So, okay, Honorable Gadais asked the question about the self-restructuring. I want to ask a related question. And in the self-preparatory today, I don't know to what extent. And where I see it, I'm not so much worried about the technical work we do. It's about a medium long-term view. Because we've been asking Petrus A, ourselves, as different ministers, on the critical issue of feedstock. And the overriding question that arises is Petro SD sustainable? Or put it differently, is government going to do everything possible to ensure that Petro SD succeeds as an oil and gas company? So the future. So not so much about what technical work happens with regard to restructuring. And it's on the basis really of whether is the feedstock. You answered the question on solar water heaters. There's been a problem there. You were overseeing the writing of the ruling party's manifesto. You know the figures that are in the manifesto and where we stand now. So I won't go into that. African minerals exploration, the hiding of. Some time ago we were told that the cabinet took a decision on this matter, and that in fact was in the process of being hired for. In the course of that, I think this discussion arose, and we have since had a discussion and thought that everything considered may not be a wise way. Can you clarify what government's position is to hiring of African population at this point? And the issue is not so much the correctness of the location. It's a mining company, so I suppose it belongs to mining. Is everything taken into account, the location is correct? Is it something that we want to do? The DDG's positions that are vacant. Have some indication of when can this be finalized? It's a matter of concern to us. I'm sure the issue about equity has been explained. So that's all from my side. Okay. The platform.
So thanks, Chair and other members of the committee. Grand Inca is dead. I'm an eternal optimist. Together with the Deputy Minister who has been seized with this matter. My understanding is that there is hope that is going to happen. I'm saying so because I'm aware that the DRC has recently appointed two construction companies, Spanish and Chinese companies, to start the process of constructing them. So it should be our intention as the Department of Energy, because we have an agreement with the DRC to ensure that we participate in this program. So in other words, we have plans for ensuring that we proceed in ensuring that it becomes a reality. Because we need that hydropower, not only for South Africa, but I believe the whole of Southern Africa, and it has a potential of even being exported outside of the continent. So the Inga project is of strategic importance, not only to the DRC, but to Africa, as we are moving towards the Africa we want. I'm also very optimistic because the president of the African Development Bank, Dr. Adesina, is very passionate about energy in general and about the Grand Inga in particular. So I think there are many champions out there who want to lighten up the African continent so that the destiny of Africa should not be in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, but lighting up our African continent. On the issue of renewables, they are producing IPPs as we speak. They are producing, they are generating electricity, which is on the national grid as we speak. So the notion that it's not in the grid is not accurate. It is true that the World Bank has been having concerns about the matters with ESCOM. My understanding is that those have been resolved. I know that the Minister of Public Enterprises is very much seized with this matter. On the IRP, when I think everything being equal by mid-August 2018, I intend to go to Cabinet on the integrated resource plan. Petro SA, I think the strategic issue is to move that entity from the ICU into a normal world before it becomes healthy. That is why I support the SEF group in its turnaround strategy. I'm sure you may be aware that they appointed the BCG group in order to assist with the turnaround strategy. So you will be supporting that. In terms of the consequence management, I think, as I indicated in my opening remarks, it will be important to be very decisive where there is wrongdoing, consequences must fall. I come again to the issue of nuclear that will become evident when the IRP is promulgated. So, Chairperson, Okay. I give to you that I don't want to preempt this alleged process that is unfolding to conclude. On the African Exploration Company, it's doing very well right now. Just had a brief recently that his current financial year to be making a very handsome profit. It's going to be high off right now, I don't know, but at the moment it assists greatly self-book, so it's still part of a strategic subsidiary of the Central Energy Fund. DDG's vacant post, Deputy Minister and myself and one Deputy Minister will be meeting next week to do a short list of that so that we can be able to appoint not only those DDGs but all of the approach in the department as well as the state-owned companies as we can realize there are many Hollywood actors
that advised you that two Chinese companies and it's taking Gravino further. Because it's not happening. It's not happening. Kinshasa, 9 kilometers away, sometimes for a week, doesn't even have power. Right there. And I say it's not happening. I'm sorry you are in the wrong way of being informed. Everyone's tried, the Americans, the Germans, the Chinese have tried. DRC is never going to have a total. Thank you, Jeff.
What is the question? Thank you very much.